towards global peace. We often talk of peace in the context of war. But this is a very narrow and restricted notion of peace. Peace is deeply linked with the entirety of human life. Peace is a complete ideology in itself. Peace is the only religion for both man and the universe. It is the master key that opens the doors to every success. Peace creates a favorable atmosphere for success in every endeavor. Without peace, no positive action, small or big, is possible. Tolerance, a virtue in itself, tolerance is a law of nature stamped on the heart of all men. Nothing could be truer than this statement of Voltaire. Tolerance is, indeed, a permanent law of nature. But it is not something which has to be externally imposed, for the human desire for tolerance is limitless. Just as truth and honesty are virtues, so is tolerance a virtue. And just as no one ever needs to ask for how long one should remain truthful and honest, so should one think of tolerance as having an eternal value. The way of tolerance should be unquestioningly adopted at all times as possessing superior merit. Tolerance is a great virtue. It is the mark of a strong personality. To become enraged at antagonism is surely a sign of weakness. Of course, there are many who do not want to recognize the principle of tolerance as being eternal, for, in conditions of adversity, the temptation to retaliate becomes too strong. The feelings of anger which accompany negative reaction must somehow be vented, and those who think and act in this way are keen to retain the illusion that, in retaliating, they are not doing anything unlawful. One of the stark realities of life is that divergence of views does exist between man and man, and that it impinges at all levels. Such thinking is quite wrong. In reality, when a man is enraged at anything which goes against his will, practicing tolerance becomes paramount. Many men strive to become supermen. But the true superman is one who, in truly trying situations, can demonstrate his super tolerance. An act of antagonism does not give us the license to be intolerant. Rather, such occasions call for greater tolerance than in normal circumstances. In everyday matter, where there is no stress and strain of opposition, no one has difficulty in being tolerant. It is only in extraordinary situations, fraught with conflict, that the truly tolerant man will prove his mettle. On January 1, 1995, the United Nations proclaimed 1995 as the Year of Tolerance, stating that the ability to be tolerant of the actions, beliefs and opinions of others is a major factor in promoting world peace. The statement issued by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, on this occasion, emphasizes that amidst the resurgence of ethnic conflicts, discrimination against minorities and xenophobia directed against refugees and asylum seekers, tolerance is the only way forward. It pointed out that racism and religious fanaticism in many countries had led to many forms of discrimination and the intimidation of those who held contrary views. There are many who do not want to recognize the principle of tolerance as being eternal, for, in conditions of adversity, the temptation to retaliate becomes too strong. Violence against and intimidation of authors, journalists and others who exercise their freedom of expression, were also on the increase, along with political movements which seek to make particular groups responsible for social ills such as crime and unemployment. Intolerance is one of the greatest challenges we face on the threshold to the 21st century, said the UNESCO statement. Intolerance is both an ethnic and political problem. It is a rejection of the differences between individuals and between cultures. When intolerance becomes organized or institutionalized, it destroys democratic principles and poses a threat to world peace. The Hindustan Times, January 1, 1995. This proclamation of the UN draws our attention to the most urgent need of the world today. One of the stark realities of life is that divergence of views does exist between man and man, and that it impinges at all levels. Be it at the level of a family or a society, a community or a country, differences are bound to exist everywhere. Now the question is how unity can be forged or harmony brought about in the face of human differences. Some people hold that the removal of all differences is the sine qua non for bringing about unity. But this view is untenable, for the simple reason that it is not practicable. You may not like the thorns which essentially accompany roses, but it is not possible for you to pluck out all the thorns and destroy them completely. For, if you pluck out one, another will grow in its place. Even if you run a bulldozer over all rose bushes, new plants will grow in their place, bearing roses which are ineluctably accompanied by thorns. In the present scheme of things, roses can be had only by tolerating the existence of thorns. Some people hold that the removal of all differences is the sine qua non for bringing about unity. But this view is untenable, for the simple reason that it is not practicable. You may not like the thorns which essentially accompany roses, but it is not possible for you to pluck out all the thorns and destroy them completely. For, if you pluck out one, another will grow in its place. Even if you run a bulldozer over all rose bushes, new plants will grow in their place, bearing roses which are ineluctably accompanied by thorns. In the present scheme of things, roses can be had only by tolerating the existence of thorns. An advantage ensuing from this attitude is that it builds character. If you are well-mannered towards those whose views are similar to yours, you may be said to exhibit a fairly good character. But, if you behave properly with those holding divergent views from you or who criticize you, you deserve to be credited with having an excellent character. In the same way, a society whose members hold identical views and never have any controversial discussions will soon find itself in the doldrums. The intellectual development of the members of this society will be stunted, because personal evolution takes place only where the interaction of divergent thinking provides the requisite mental stimuli. The adoption of a policy of tolerance in the midst of controversy and in the face of opposition is not a negative step. It is undoubtedly a positive course of action. Divergence of views plays an important role in the development of the human psyche. It is only after running the intellectual gauntlet that a developed personality emerges. If, in a human society, this process ceases to operate, the development of character will come to a standstill. Nobody in this world is perfect. If a man is endowed abundantly with some qualities, he may be lacking in others. This is one of the reasons for differences cropping up between people. But, for life as a whole, this disparateness is actually a great blessing. The good points of one man may compensate for the shortcomings of another, just as one set of talents in one man may complement a different set in another. If people could only learn to tolerate others' differences, their very forbearance would become a great enabling factor in collective human development. In this world, unity is achievable only by learning to unite in spite of differences, rather than insisting on unity without differences. After 1947, when the first government of independent India was formed, two important leaders were included in it. One was Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru and the other was Sardar Vallabhbhai Patel. Pandit Nehru's westernized ideas were in great contrast to the Orientalism of Sardar Patel. And this caused frequent differences of opinion between these two leaders. But this proved to be a boon for the nation, because with Pandit Nehru's abilities complementing the traits of Sardar Patel, and vice versa, the end result was one of an efficacious complementarity. This is a good example of the difference between the respective natures and opinions of individuals essential for human development in general. The habit of tolerance prevents a man from wasting his time and talent on unnecessary matters. When negatively affected by another's unpalatable behavior, your mental equilibrium gets upset. Whereas when emotionally untouched by such behavior, your mind will fully retain its equilibrium and, without wasting a single moment, you will continue to carry out your duties in the normal way. The policy of tolerance or forbearance enhances your efficacy, while intolerant behavior reduces it. Tolerance is not an act of compulsion. It is a positive principle of life, expressing the noble side of a man's character. The existence of tolerant human beings in a society is just like the blooming of flowers in a garden. Islam, religion of tolerance. Islam is an entirely tolerant religion. Islam desires peace to prevail in the world. The Quran calls the way of Islam the path of peace. 5:16. The state of peace can never prevail in a society if tolerant attitude is lacking in the people. Tolerance is the only foundation for peace. In a society where tolerance is absent, peace will be non-existent. Peace is the religion of the universe. Peace should, therefore, be the religion of man too, so that, in the words of Bible, the will of the Lord may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10, in a similar vein, the Quran tells us that the sun is not allowed to overtake the moon, nor does the night outpace the day. Each in its own orbit runs. 36:40, when God created heaven and the earth, He so ordered things that each part might perform its function peacefully without clashing with any other part. For billions of years, therefore, the entire universe has been fulfilling its function in total harmony with His divine plan. When God created heaven and the earth, He so ordered things that each part might perform its function peacefully without clashing with any other part. The universe is following this path of peace, which is known in science as the law of nature. The law of nature is imposed upon the universe by God, whereas man has to adopt this path of peace of his own free will. This has been expressed in the Quran in these words: "Are they seeking a religion other than God's, when every soul in heaven and earth has submitted to Him, willingly or by compulsion? To Him they shall all return." 3:83. Peace is no external factor to be artificially imposed upon man. Peace is inherent in nature itself. The system of nature set up by God already rests on the basis of peace. If this system is not disrupted, it will continue to stay the course set for it by the Almighty. But the only way to keep humanity on the path of peace is to rid it of corruption. That is why the Quran enjoins, "And do not corrupt the land after it has been set in order." 7:85. In order to preserve peace established by nature from disruption, two important injunctions have been laid down by Islam. 1. At the individual level, stresses the exercise of patience, and the other, at the social level, forbids taking the offensive. 1. Negative reaction on the part of the individual is the greatest factor responsible for disrupting peace in daily life. It repeatedly happens that in social life one experiences bitterness on account of others. On such occasions, if one reacts negatively, the matter will escalate to the point of a head-on collision. That is why Islam repeatedly enjoins us to tread the path of patience. The Quran says, "Surely the patient will be paid their wages in full without measure." 39:10. The reason for the rewards for patience being so great is that patience is the key factor in maintaining the desired system of God. In the words of the Quran, the patient man is the helper of God. 61:14:2. The other injunction, designed to maintain peace in human society, forbids the waging of an offensive war. No one in Islam enjoys the right to wage war against another. There are no grounds on which this could be considered justifiable. There is only one kind of war permitted in Islam, and that is a defensive war. If a nation, by deviating from the principles of nature, wages war against another nation, defense in such circumstances, subject to certain conditions, is temporarily allowed. To sum up, Islam is a religion of peace. The Arabic root of Islam, Silm, means peace. The Quran says, "And God calls to the home of peace." 10:25. Peace is basic to all religions. Let us all strive then to establish peace in the world, for that is the bedrock on which all human progress rests. Islamic teachings can be summed up under two basic headings: believing in God and worshipping Him, regarding all human beings as equal and according equal rights to all.